Nick Freitas, delegate.
Give me your 15 to 30 second pitch why people should vote for you.
Well, I think ultimately that this is a question between two competing philosophies. It's the philosophy of government control versus the philosophy of individual liberty. I have a record of fighting for individual liberty, both as a Green Beret and as a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. I have a record in the General Assembly of fighting for property rights, free market economics, and just basically empowering people to have more control over their lives. And I think that when we advocate for those things and we do so boldly and unapologetically, people are able to prosper.
Is that a November message or is that a primary message?
I think that's a message that works for both the primary and November.
So what makes you different than in the primary, though? Obviously, you and Chairman Stort have gone back and forth, and you know, Mr. Jackson's in the race as well. What makes you different as people consider who to vote for?
Well, I think there's three fundamental differences between me and the other candidates. One, I'm a combat veteran, which means I understand national security policy, which is obviously a core function of the federal government. I also understand what it's like for the 10% of the population of Virginia, which are veterans, to reintegrate back into the economy and to also try to navigate things like the VA medical system. So I think I bring a wealth of experience with respect to those two issues. I'm also the only member that's I'm the only candidate that's a member of the legislature. So the idea of being able to work through the committee process and understanding what it takes to get a bill from concept all the way to signed into law, I think is very important and relevant experience for this position. And I think the other difference is one that's a little bit more philosophical. And that comes from not just arguing for things like tax cuts and regulatory reform and education reform, but actually understanding why it is that we argue for all of these things. And again, that goes back to the core message of individual liberty. The government has an important role to play in our lives, but it's not there to run our lives for us. And I think most people believe that in many respects, that's the federal government has grown to a size where it constantly attempts to invade into our privacy and invade into our decision-making process. And I think by focusing on that message that, again, government's there to protect our liberty, protect our property, and provide equal justice before the law, but it's not there to micromanage our lives for us, I think is an important distinction.
Is there, rather than the broader concept like that, is there a specific issue that you find you'd most want to act on, and what would that be and how?
I think a lot of it has to do with putting government back in its proper place. I think most people understand that the government and the federal government specifically is trying to do far too much right now, which means it's not doing any of it very well. I think I want the federal government to focus on things like national defense, which obviously has a lot of implications for Virginia, both from a defense policy, but also from an economic standpoint, with Second Fleet down in Virginia Beach and a lot of industry in Virginia being dedicated to defense policy. I think when it comes to education reform, it has to do with a system where we have more educational choice and dollars following students. When it comes to the economy, it's really about allowing people to keep more of their own money and specifically trying to make sure that the legislature does its proper role in ensuring that the executive branch doesn't run amok with administrative law and regulations. And I think this administration has done a good job of reining that in, but we need a legislature that's actually going to back up the president with respect to that.
How do you represent the whole state in some place like Virginia? You know, you represent a much smaller group of people now. How do you represent people with such competing interests as one of 100 on Capitol Hill should you win?
I don't really think it's competing interests with respect to the people of Virginia or even with respect to people across the country. If the federal government is staying within its proper role and again, providing for the common defense at the same time that it's protecting the free market, then each individual has a chance to live their lives in accordance with their definition of happiness, as opposed to the federal government trying to impose a particular definition or a set of standards on everyone. And so I think when we campaign on, we're going to keep the government within those proper roles. We're going to make sure that the government is providing protection through public safety. It's providing equal justice before the law and national defense, and not trying to constantly interfere in those everyday-to-day decisions, which are best left to the individual or to state and local authorities. I think that's something that resonates across the Commonwealth of Virginia and really across the country.
Can you win in November? And does President Trump being in office help you or hurt you or make no difference at all?
We can absolutely win in November. I think Tim Kaine has been in office for almost 30 years now, and I think a lot of people understand that career politicians have really caused some of the mess that we're in right now. It's not that they don't mean well, it's just that they have a tendency to give into this idea that if they just have a little bit more power, they can fix everything, when in reality, they're just supposed to protect our ability to be able to live our own lives. And no, I think the president has done a lot of incredible things with respect to regulatory reform, with respect to tax reform, and I even think on the national defense front, too. too. We're talking about peace in areas of the world right now that we haven't seen peace for decades. So I think overall it's definitely a net positive. And now I understand that some people might not appreciate the way the president talks about things, but I think when we look at the substantive results of policy, I think it's definitely a net positive.
Speaking of the way people talk about things, I mean, Chairman Stort has basically called you names and all of these different things. Is that helpful? And how do you address that? And how do you deal with basically being called a conservative light by opponents who claim to be the true conservative, as you always hear in these kinds of races?
Well, Corey Stewart has voted to raise taxes several times in Prince William County. He's also engaged in what I would consider to be cronyism. I don't consider any of those things very conservative-oriented, not to mention the fact that his whole statement that he's going to run a vicious and ruthless campaign, I certainly can't think of anyone in American political history that I truly admire that I would describe as being vicious or ruthless. I think when we run a campaign that focuses on empowering people and again, inspires as opposed to divide people, I think that certainly works better on the long run. You know, I understand the whole divide and conquer strategy, but I think Corey is engaged in more of a divide and lose strategy. So we're just not going to do that. Corey can run his race. I'm going to run mine, and we'll see which the people of the Commonwealth choose on January or on June 12th.
Do you take any lessons from how the gubernatorial race went in the fall that might help you should you win on June 12th as far as moving forward with a statewide strategy?
Oh, of course. I think we have to consider all the races that came before, and obviously there's a great deal of experience and lessons learned from all of those. But I think one of the most important things is to understand that there are very different areas within the Commonwealth of Virginia. That doesn't mean we don't have principles which unite all of us, but we understand that there's different economic situations and social situations that face different parts of the Commonwealth. In Northern Virginia, transportation is a huge issue. In Southwest Virginia, we're looking at trying to bring back economic development and allow that area to be viable again. When it comes to the Tidewater, we obviously have a huge defense community down there. And across the entire Commonwealth, jobs, healthcare, education, all of these issues are incredibly important. But we need to be able to speak about issues. Your principles don't change no matter where you go, but you want to speak about the issues that are most relevant to the people that you're talking to. And you want to be able to listen to them so that when you represent them, you can actually do an effective job and deal with issues that are relevant to your constituents.
Talk to us here in Northern Virginia. What do we need to know about transportation? What would you be pushing for, and what could you get done?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that we need to do in Northern Virginia. Obviously, the tolls and metro are two huge issues that affect a lot of people up there. I think one of the best ways that we can deal with traffic congestion in Northern Virginia is we need to be working more along the lines, and you saw Congressman Comstock do this, where we put a little bit more emphasis on federal employees that are actually able to work remotely. A lot of times, building roads is the most expensive thing we can do. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it, but we should also look for other alternatives, like allowing people to be able to work remotely as an alternative. We also, I think, need to spread out some of the various federal agencies and departments that we have in Northern Virginia and disperse that out over other areas so we're not talking about concentration all in one spot, which leads to incredible traffic congestion. I think when it comes to federal transportation dollars, we also need to put states and localities in the lead with determining how that money is allocated. That's not to say that the federal government doesn't have a role with respect to the interstate and other areas, but we should be taking a lot more advice and a lot more insight from states and localities as opposed to the federal government assuming that it's got a one-size-fits-all approach that's going to work. I think when you get the localities more involved, you find that you come up with much more efficient solutions.
Lately, people, on the Democratic side have brought up a lot of the, gun issues, or we've had the school safety issues and all of these other things. Do you feel that there's anything in particular that you would want to address about any of those things that might help Republican primary voters know where you stand as opposed to the other two candidates?
Sir, we've certainly tried to do a lot in the General Assembly level, and I think we're moving in a positive direction. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people, and certainly not all Democrats, but there is a small group, I think, of people that really see this as their opportunity to essentially tear down the Second Amendment. And I don't think that's an appropriate way to address this problem. There are so many different solutions that we look at, whether it's additional school resource officers, whether it's a more trauma-informed education for our teachers and our first responders. there's a lot of issues that we agree on that address the behavior, which I think is the far more important category that we need to be looking into if we want to ensure the safety of our children. And if we can just put aside some of the more controversial aspects of this for a moment and focus on the things that all sides agree on, we can actually get important policy changes put in place right away that are going to make our kids safer today. But anytime a tragedy is used, or I would even say exploited, and tried to essentially deprive law-abiding citizens of the ability to defend themselves, well, that's something that I'm going to view with a great deal of skepticism. I'm not going to be able to support. But again, when it comes to substantive policy issues like additional school resource officers, greater security measures for our kids, those are things that we could do that right now if we could just stop bickering and seeing this as an opportunity for basically, you know, certain groups to try to infringe on people's rights. And that's what I fought for in the General Assembly, and that's what I'll continue to fight for in the United States Senate. But one thing I think we need to be very careful of is we don't want to try to impose some sort of, you know, federal top-down solution. We need to find ways to empower localities to be able to make decisions that work best for their individual districts, as opposed to arrogantly assuming that the federal government can fix this through a piece of legislation.
Sometimes candidates after a primary will slide back towards the center. Is there a risk of being too far to the right, since Virginia's been electing statewide Democrats for a number of years now?
You know, the job of a representative is to not simply take a poll and legislate appropriately. The job of a representative, if we're being honest, in a constitutional republic, is to be perfectly honest with the people that they would represent about what they believe and why they believe it. And so that's been my message in the General Assembly. It's been my message in the primary. It'll be my message in the general. If I don't effectively reflect the views of the people of Virginia, then I shouldn't represent them. But I think I do. I think my experience is something that they can relate to, being a husband, being a father, being a veteran, having worked in Virginia, being in the General Assembly, having taught before. I think these are all things that people can relate to on a personal level. And then when we look at the overall policy position, which is, again, it's about enacting the proper tax reform, education reform, regulatory reform, defense reform, so that people have more control over their own lives and can choose for themselves what's best, as opposed to trying to micromanage society or make a whole host of decisions, which, quite frankly, is just not the province of the federal government. So I don't think that's a message that I have to divert from in the general election. I think it's one that I'm going to double down on in the general election, because I think it's really resonating with people right now.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, if there's anything else you think people should know?
Check my voting record and check the things that I've talked about. I think people will see an amazing amount of consistency. And I think the other thing that they'll see is positivity. I don't believe that politics is a cult of personality. I think it's a debate about ideas where people can come and civically engage without being uncivil to one another. And I think that's reflected in the way I've conducted myself both in the campaign and the legislature. And so I look forward to meeting as many people as possible and earning their vote and their trust.